great unknown, or feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stay, and I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Oh. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me, and take me deep. Presence of my Savior. Oh, oh, oh. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. You
got the text all ready for me.
I thought I'd help you out.
Well, thank you.
You know they were clapping for Emily, don't you?
Oh, I know that very well. It's the way it always is. Our text for today comes from the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, the first 5 verses. So hear now the word of our Lord. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have attained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We've been trying to get Emily to sing for six forevers. And obviously you enjoyed it. So maybe you can entice her to come and sing again for you in the not too distant future. And by the way, you too are invited to sing this summer when we have a volunteer choir. They can just, family choir. Okay, so you don't have to be at rehearsal, Mike. You can just come on up here and sing. It'll be hymns that we know. I'm planning on going up there to sing, but the choir's already spoken with Alexis and said, you'll turn her mic off, won't you? So it'll be fun. I do appreciate Emily and Jeff more than I can say. They make a great ministry team. I remind you often that Emily doesn't get paid by us, and so we can't expect her to do things, but she always comes running when we call her. She'll be leading the music at the women's retreat this fall. And so if you like this, you get a little taste of more, sign up for the women's retreat. It'll be great. Most of you know that I was an OR nurse before transitioning into ministry. I loved nursing. And most of you know that I worked for many years for Bill's dad, Dr. E.J. Calloway. I even know what the E stands for. Once, when we came out of the operating room after a long and tedious surgery, there were many times I would say to him, is this ever going to end? And he would say repeatedly, surgeries always end one way or another. They always end. But this case had been long, long, long and tedious, and we finally got through, and I went in to check the patient into the recovery room, and he began to dictate a letter to the primary care physician that had made the referral. And the letter started off this way. Dear Dr. So-and-so, thank you for this most interesting case. And by the way, I've had about all the most interesting cases I want for a while. Preachers do it this way. The DS calls, and when the DS calls and says, you're moving, he often, or she often, will say it this way. Jeff, you're moving. You've got a great opportunity before you.
I like this opportunity.
Yeah. That's a very good response. After that had happened to a brother of ours fairly often, he called the bishop and said, Bishop, I've had about all the great opportunities I can stand. Can I please have a great appointment? You see? That's what Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to the church in Rome, the only church he wrote to that he did not start, and so they didn't have long history with him. And they were in the midst of a lot of persecution. There were Christians being killed, and the church members were afraid, and they were about ready to give up. And Paul is telling them to hang on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hang on. Paul is telling them, my son would say it this way, if it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger. Don't give up. Hang on. Paul wanted to encourage them. Because he knew it was best for them, even if it meant death, it was best for them to follow Christ. So he's writing this letter not to be sadistic, and he's not writing it to us today for us to be morbid or macabre in this. We don't pray for pain. We don't pray for problems. We don't pray for suffering. But when it comes, it comes. It's an imperfect world. And Paul is telling the church then, and he's telling the church now, you ought to be saying thank you for staying with us through this pain, through this problem, through this suffering. We're not alone. And if we choose, do you understand that? If we choose, we can learn and grow and become better people. Now, I'm not just talking to the graduates today, but to all of you, to me. We have this huge sense of entitlement. It should be 72 degrees. The sun should be shining when we have outdoor activities. There should be no mosquitoes, especially those Zika things. It should be smooth sailing. There should be no pain. We have this sense of entitlement. We're Christian. We're serving Christ. No bad thing should ever happen to us. And we don't understand it when a problem comes our way, when suffering comes our way, when we can't fix things ourselves. Instead of that sense of entitlement, we should be very grateful that God never leaves us and walks through this imperfect world with us and gives us strength and gives us courage and gives us room to grow. Do you understand? The onus is on us. It is on us. It is our responsibility. The decisions we make often cause our problems to begin with, and then we want to blame God. I promise you, if you run a stop sign often enough, you're going to get creamed. And then we say, oh God, why did you let that happen to me? And God in his booming voice that we cannot hear says, because you ran the stop sign. Now, you can ask Mackenzie Crow about that. She was here at 8:45 and she came and talked to our teenagers and our parents on Sunday not long ago. The decisions that we make with our free will intact often cause the problems that we have, create for us great consequence. How we handle ourselves after we make those mistakes and when we're in the midst of those problems determines the outcome. How we react determines whether we grow, whether we endure, whether we have character, whether we have hope is our decision. It's called free will. I saw Martin Clark back there earlier. I walked by his house yesterday afternoon with Doogie, and he's standing up on the roof. I said, what are you doing up there? And he said, oh, the view is great from up here. I said, you're going to fall and break your neck. Well, I hope not, but the view is great from up here. And I thought, on you, old buddy. I hope they don't call me. I don't know what he was doing up there. I don't know if he was cleaning out gutters. I don't know if he's just trying to get away from Lisa. I don't know what he was doing on that roof. This text says and means problems produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope that will not let us down. I believe that, and I hope you do. And yet, somehow, we don't want to experience problems or endurance. And sometimes I wonder if character means anything to us anymore. I dread getting old. Chandler's in here someplace. She thinks I'm already old. But I mean, got to have somebody to take you to the grocery store old. You know what I mean? I dread getting old. It scares me like nothing else scares me. I hate the thought of becoming dependent. I introduced Chandler. She's staying with me this summer, and I keep introducing her to the same people over and over. She says, me, Mommy, you introduced me to this person 6 times. And I said to her, the curse of the grandmother, someday you're going to be old. And I'm going to lean over the banister of heaven and say, you've already introduced that kid three times to that same person. But as afraid of getting old as I am, I know there's only one way out. And I've still got a lot of living to do. I've still got a lot of preaching to do. I still got a church to run, and I love doing that. And I got a few grandchildren that might need me. I'm really dreading the process of growing old. But Flossie Lewis, I just happened to run into Flossie Lewis on the internet, and she comforted me and reassured me. And so I want you to listen to her today. She's 91. And I want you to listen particularly for the word character.
Getting old is a state of mind. Now, I'm 91. I'm badly crippled. But I still think I'm 15. Will this go viral?
We hope so.
There are several ways I keep myself stimulated. By dragging myself to Piedmont Avenue on my walker or in my wheelchair, and you should see me use my wheelchair, I write light verse for The Crest, which is our newspaper. And every month you can find a sly little bit of verse from Flossie Lewis. The other way I keep being stimulated is just watching politics. And if that isn't enough to drive you crazy, I don't know what is. You do struggle to keep yourself neat and clean and fashionable. And there's always the possibility that romance comes your way. I just liking someone is a treat, because part of being old is to get cranky. There's indigestion and your teeth fall out, and suddenly you need hearing aids, and you feel increasingly unattractive. And then somebody says, how nice you look today, Mrs. Lewis. Or you're a real kick, Flossie, and you feel good about yourself. You pick yourself up and you say, I'm gonna get through it. I'm gonna get through it because I have a reason to get through it. Really growing old is when you discover that you haven't a reason to get through it anymore, and that you'd like to go to sleep with a certain amount of dignity. Accepting the fact that the body is going to go, but the personality doesn't have to go. And that thing which is the hardest to admit is that character doesn't have to go. I'm Flossie Lewis. This is my brief but spectacular take on growing old.
I wish you were a member of this church. Now, graduates or students or young parents or young marrieds or middlers, you're not exempt from this. You're not exempt from this text. You have your share of difficulties. There are those who are in a sandwich generation who have to take care of aging parents and also young children. That's tough. That's a tough place to be. There are young couples trying to make a living and make a life. And there are young couples trying to make a marriage work when they wondered why they got married at all. All of us are battling the fact that none of us like delayed gratification, especially when you have a little piece of plastic in your wallet that will make you be able to have that right now. And then we battle debt. But we have free will to take our life experiences and learn from them and be better because of how we handle them. We can prioritize so that the things that cause the problems for us are eradicated from our to-do list. I learned a new word from Leslie Hall this week. It's called, this is the word, I love this word, snarky. She used it in a COM meeting. Do any of you have any comments you'd like to make, she said, but don't be snarky. And everybody in the room knew exactly what snarky meant immediately. I bet I've used it 1,000 times since then. That sounds snarky. Let's don't be snarky. I like that word. I hope that I don't get so old that I think I have a license to be snarky. You don't get old enough to be snarky, people. That's all I can tell you about that. Jesus said it. I hope I never get so old that I can't learn and that I'll quit trying to be the best I can possibly be. I hope I never get so old that I won't listen to God and admit my own shortcomings. I hope I never get too old to enjoy change when it comes and it happens and it's for the better. I hope that I go to sleep with some dignity before I get where I don't enjoy change and something new. And I don't want to be snarky about it when it happens. We have a choice. Not only about how we grow old, but about how we live our lives. It's called free will. God gave it to us. He will never take it away from us. We can get up in the morning and decide it's going to be a grand day. And even if it turns out not to be a so good day, we can live like it was a grand day. We'll live longer if we do that, Barry. When you lose a football game, what do you do? You whine and cry. And then on Monday, what do? You get a do-over. It's Friday Night Lights. It's coming again. So you watch the films, you learn from the mistakes, and you move forward. That's what Christians do. That's what we do. That's what this text says. We, you and I, the young and the old and the fat and the skinny, the gifted and the not so gifted, the straight and the gay, the men and the women, the boys and the girls, every single soul, every single soul can be better than they are if they will simply try to do their best for Christ's sake every day. You want me to simplify this for you? I will. Love God first and love each other and try your best and do not sell your soul to anybody. And if you have to, buy a Mickey Mouse watch so when you look at it, you'll remember not to take yourself so seriously. This is so simple the children can understand it and so profound the Pope has trouble with it. Flossie helped me to realize without hope, we are nothing. And hope is worth working for and investing in. My prayer this morning for this church, for myself, for each one of you, every single one of you, is this. Let us take on our problems, for they produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Thanks be to God. Amen.